Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more.
I want to welcome you to Thursday Night Men's Study, and welcome to any of you tuning in online. We'd love to have you join us if you can, in person, but we're here, and the Lord's here. And just good to be with you guys, and we'll just go open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your presence here, Lord. We just thank you for meeting with us, Lord. The men come with different cares, different needs, Father, and we just know that you know those details of our lives, Father, and you care about those details. So we pray that you would just meet us here, Father, that our worship would be pleasing to you, Father, and we would just receive healing and wisdom and knowledge and comfort, Lord. Whatever we need, Father, we just pray that you would just bestow those things on us. We pray that the men would minister to one another and just share the love that you've given us, Father. And for these special requests, Lord, our brother Mike Rogers, he wants to lift up our brother Andy here, who his daughter is having a baby, and we just pray that that all goes well, that the baby and the mom are healthy, and we enjoy this blessing with a brother Andy to have this new grandchild coming into the family, Father. So we just pray for just a very healthy and happy birth there, Father God. Now, brother Daniel, we'd like us to lift up the unborn and for the abortion situation in this world and in this country, Father. And we just pray that you have mercy on us, Father, for the thoughtlessness and the way we care for our littlest ones, Father. We just pray you just heal our land, Father, and that you would just change our hearts, Lord, to care for even the littlest among us, Father. Our brother Frank, he wants us to lift up his friend Dan. A dear friend is having brain surgery for a tumor. They don't really know much more about it, Father, and I just want to lift up Dan to you, Father. We don't know if he knows you or not, Father, but we just pray, Lord, that he would know your presence, Father. He would feel your healing touch upon him, Father. We just pray that Frank and others would give him words of encouragement, Lord, and words of truth. So we just pray for Dan and this upcoming surgery next Wednesday, Father. And we just pray that it goes well, and that's the end of the treatment, Father, that everything will just be fine with this Dan, Frank's friend Dan. And Father, again, we just pray you just be with us tonight, and we just pray your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
So I want to thank you. I don't know that you prayed, but I assume some of you brothers did. Last week, I wasn't here because our niece was being born. So she showed up, little Lucy Rose, and she's healthy, and she's got all 10 fingers and toes, and she's cute as can be. My wife's in love. She's begging me for another one. And that's good for me, guys. Come on. It's a good time. Anyways, I digress. Tonight, I'll let these guys keep going, but tonight we're going to be back in Proverbs. And as Joe was saying, what a cool study, right? It's kind of interesting, right? It's topical and still through the word at the same time, right? Because we've been in the same book the whole time, but we've been doing it topically, which is very interesting. And I'm not sure that there's any other book in the Bible that you could really do that to. I don't know. That's pretty cool, though. So thanks to Marty, really, for organizing that and putting that together. Yeah, thanks, Marty. Pretty cool. But tonight we're going to conclude that study, our topical journey that we've been on through the book of Proverbs. And something that, and I was talking to Marty about this earlier, something I found that interesting to this was, number one, just the timing of this final study being so close to Mother's Day, but the topic is, you know, Proverbs 31. It's really, as my wife pointed out, she was like, good luck with that, right? it's a study that's typically, you know, geared towards the ladies. And tonight we're geared towards the men. That's what God has ordained for us. So that required some, you know, some prayer, right? And I think God was faithful to deliver. He gave me he gave me some insight that I don't think I would have come up with on my own. So he used my wife a little bit in that as well, and that was pretty cool. But we've had plenty of wisdom to gain in our study through Proverbs, and that wisdom was embodied in the embodiment of a woman, right, at one point for us. I think I taught on that one too. And I guess God's trying to beat something into me on that. But so it's interesting. We're back there tonight. We're tonight though. We're looking at two women. We're looking at gaining wisdom from these two women. The first one is the mother and her advice to us on leadership, and the second is the wife and what that ideal partnership should look like or looks like, right? Interesting to me also is this proverb is the fact that in this proverb, the mother will give us advice on how to be a good leader, which I think is, well, which I know is a requirement for a good marriage, right? And a good partnership. And because this proverb gets mostly associated with the 31 woman, I get it. Because it's a great depiction and example set for us. But I think what gets overlooked a lot is that before it gives us this woman, it first gives us this Proverbs 31 man. And we get it from the perspective of that other important woman in a man's life, right? His mom. So that's where we're going to begin. Following a mother's advice on leadership is our first topic. And we're starting in verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. What, my son, and what, son of my womb? And what, son of my vows? Do you give your strength to women? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open your mouth for the speechless. In the case of all who are appointed to die, open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. So we don't really know who wrote this one, right? We don't know if this is Bathsheba wrote this to her son, and then, you know, Solomon put it in there, and he didn't want to put his name on it because it was a note from his mom. We don't know, right? And that's not important. What's important is it's in God's word, and therefore it's sacred, right? And there's some powerful stuff in here. So the first thing is this this beginning. It says, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. As I said before, if you are to have a good marriage, you have to first possess what it takes to be a good leader, I think, right? There's a character requirement. That's what we're talking about. If we do not possess the proper character, not only will we not be able to lead, but it'll be near impossible to know what to look for in a good partner, let alone attract her, right? And the reason for that is the Proverbs 31 woman, as we'll get into here a little bit later, is first and foremost a godly woman. So we have to be godly men first and foremost, right? So the first thing that I see here in this case is that the mother gives advice, and this wise leader, the son, right, the king, he heeds it. He listens to his mom, and we're going to call her mom from now on for the rest of the night. But it's funny, I was, you know, looking for fun little quotes and so on, and there's this unnamed author that quoted this. It says, if at first you don't succeed, try doing it the way your mom told you to in the first place, right? I like that, right? So the moral of the story is listen to your mom, right? But it's funny how when we're young, especially we're teenagers, I've got one, I'll have another one here soon. And this is very true. And it was very true for me as well that I know for me, I thought I knew stuff, right? I thought my parents were just old and their old ways, right? And they're just looking at things from the olden time perspectives, you know? And that's, I'm sure, how my kids look at it too, right? But as I became an adult, I realized how much wisdom they really had and how much better off I would have been, how many things I would have avoided and how much better I would have done really in the long run had I listened to them sooner, right? So, and that's just, that's a common thing. But here we see that the son heeded mom's, he listened to her obviously, and so that's a good thing. Verse 2, it says, what my son and what son of my womb and what son of my vows? Three repetitive questions we get here that establish for us what is to follow. And that is a loving response from a mother to her son, right? Perhaps she's responding to a question, or maybe she is seeking to correct or even establish a behavior in her son, a character trait, right? We've all heard it said that behind every great man is a great woman, and we think of that from the viewpoint of our spouse, which makes sense, right? And it's true. But it also is true in us in that the man's character has long since been established before he ever even meets the woman that the scripture will later point out to. And that is because of the mother is a big part to play in our characters, right? Most experts agree that a child's personality is developed between 3 and 5. And personality is a set of personal qualities, whereas character is a collection of mental and moral characteristics. Where the personality is the mask or the identity of a person, the character is the learned behavior of that person. Both pieces together are what makes us unique and distinct. And if our personalities are formed at ages 3 to 5, when our parents are our major influences, then I think it is safe to say that our parents, and especially our mothers, right, who are traditionally the ones that are around us most at that age, can have a huge influence also on our character. So here we're getting an example of a mom in action responding in love, but she's not going to sugarcoat things either, as we're going to find out. Verse 3, she says, do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroy kings. So again, mom's not sugarcoating stuff. She's trying to explain the perils of loose women, right? Many of man have been destroyed by this type of gal. And if you're going to be a successful person, a leader, like in this case, this son who's a king, then these women are going to come out of the woodworks most likely, right? And it's something you're going to have to deal with at some point. And you guys may be thinking, maybe I'm thinking, hey, you know, I'm nobody special, and that's, so I don't have to worry about that temptation. But the fact is, guys, that as godly men, and this is the reality, as godly men, it makes you stand out. It makes you desirable to people that don't have that, right? And especially gals, and sometimes it's the wrong kind of gals and for the wrong kind of reasons. And if a man like a king can be ruined or depleted by a woman like this, then obviously we can be too, right? So we need to not be prideful in that and to guard against that. So again, listen to mom, right? Don't give your ways. Don't relent in your standards that make you that stand out to begin with, right? That's the idea. Joe was talking about, well, if they won't let us pray, we'll pray anyways, right? Those are our standards. We can't relent on those principles that we have as Christians. Verse 4, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink. I don't know why I keep getting the drinking proverbs, but I keep getting them. The concept here, though, guys, is that a leader must first consider his position and his responsibility carefully with respect to drinking. Drinking dulls our senses, we all know that. Our awarenesses, our ability to control, and our ability to make sound judgments. That's the idea. Drinking is not something that is forbidden as Christians. In fact, I think there is a time and a place where if you're so inclined to, that it's okay. Jesus turned the water to wine as one of his first miracles in a celebration, right? It was a celebration. But the Bible is very clear that drunkenness is never condoned. And I think what Mom is saying here mirrors what God's word also makes clear in 1 Timothy chapter 3, which is that those in leadership roles like bishops and pastors should be sober-minded and not be given to wine. In fact, let's just read that because I think it applies to actually most of our message tonight, really. 1 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 7 says, "This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil." So this can be an issue for those in leadership, and this is what Mom is explaining. Being in a leadership role requires more caution as the responsibility is greater, right? There's more people counting on us. There's more eyes on us. There's more decisions to be made, right? We're leading those that need to be led. So as a parent, it's important as well to be cognizant of that. Verse 5, "Lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted." This is another reason why you got to be cautious, right? A godly leader is bouncing judgment calls and decisions off of God's word. We need our full faculties to do this. And if you're in a position of leadership where the decisions you make affect others, then you want to make those decisions with a clear mind, with discernment and careful consideration, right? As the leaders of our households, as I just said, right, being the example setters and the rule makers and the enforcers, it is something we must carefully consider the time and the place of it all. But Mom goes on to say, she says, "Give strong drink to him who is perishing and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more." God's creation is perfect, right? And alcohol, I think, has its place, is what I'm hearing here. But we talked about the first one, potentially celebration, if you're so inclined. And now we get a couple other potential applications from Mom here. Mom is saying, give it to these people in an effort to ease their suffering, right? So the person that's dying or sick, I would place this in the category of pain medication, or even I would say, you know, marijuana, right? If you're talking about someone that's going through chemotherapy and they have no appetite and they have lots of pain, is prescribed by their doctor, it sounds like a good one to me in that case. That's my take on it. And that's what I think we're talking about here. I have to admit, I have an easier time though with these first two examples, right? Celebration and medicinally, right? Then this next one. Because the next thing Mom says here is that if someone is hurting emotionally or if someone is hating their life, then let them drink until they forget. I personally think that's a terrible idea, as it only tends to make things worse. And I can't imagine having that kind of self-control to not go overboard with it if I was in a depressed state, right? So that leads me to believe that what Mom is really attempting to do here for her son is associate excessive drinking with these types of people and their realities, as the two often seem to go hand in hand, right? Excessive drinking ultimately leads to poverty, loss, depression, sickness, and oftentimes death. So the idea, I think, is, son, you've got way too much to be thankful for. And own your responsibilities, right? Own that pressure that comes with success and don't hide from it in a bottle. Instead, do what leaders do. And what is that? What is it that leaders do? Well, Mom goes on to say, open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. Speak up for those that can't speak for themselves. Do the right thing, especially when it's not popular, right? Stand up and stand on your God-given convictions and principles. Own your mistakes. Show grace to people when they make their own mistakes. And recognize your blessings so that you can be used by God to help others when and where you can. That's the character God wants his men to have, right? And that's the character Mom wants her son to have. So now that we have our character established as that key, first we establish that character or that learn and practice behavior. And then we can look for, or then we can lead in an ideal partnership. Because a lot of us are already married and we're not going to start looking again because that would be bad. Looking for the ideal partnership, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion of her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it from her profits. She plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed in scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Verse 10, who can find a virtuous wife, for her worth is far above rubies. What is quickly established here for us is that a wife like this is a precious and rare thing. And she should be desired and appreciated as such. This is a wife that is virtuous, or as other translations put it, a woman who is capable or of noble character, right? That's godly character that we're talking about. It is in the form of a question here, because the answer is that not everyone is going to find a woman like this. It's a rare thing, right? true though, a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while, and the first thing for most of us though is that we have to be a man of proper character. Again, we have to do that before we're able to lead a woman like this or find a woman like this, right? So what does this woman look like? Well, verse 11, the heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. Her husband trusts her, and so the first thing we see is that she is trustworthy. But we also get the description that he safely trusts her, which means she doesn't let him down, right? She's proven, she's earned it. She has her husband's confidence, but she also has her husband's contentment, right? That's that lack of, there's no lack of gain. He is content in their relationship because it is growing, right? And that bond and trust builds more and more as they go through the ups and downs of life together. And that's, in order to do that, she's got to be a trustworthy woman. Verse 12, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. This wife has nothing but the best of intentions for her husband, and she's always looking to build her man up. Years ago, my wife's girlfriend was struggling in her marriage. Her husband had lost his job, and they were financial hard times. And financial hard times, or those downs in life, can certainly strain a marriage. And she was talking to my wife about it, and my wife told her, she said, you know, and she wasn't, her friend was telling her, you know, I'm just, she wasn't feeling it for her husband at that point in time, right? She was just kind of been going on for a while. And my wife prayed with her, and she said, and this was a woman that loved Jesus, and they prayed together, and my wife said, you know, you have to remind him who he is, you know, and you gotta, she basically said, build him up, you know. And like, wasn't, I don't know, a couple weeks later, she was like, man, that's the best advice I ever got, right? Because that's all it took, was her going to her husband and loving on him and saying, hey, I know it's tough right now, but I believe in you. And I know you can do this, and I know you can get another job, and it's going to be all right, and we'll do what we got, and don't worry about it. You're not going to lose us. We're in. Your kids love you. You're still a hero to them. You're still a hero to me. That's what we're talking about here, right? Gives me chills. So she builds her man up throughout the marriage, especially when times are hard, reassuring him of his worth and to her and to others, right? It says here in verse 13, she seeks wool and flask and willingly works with her hands. This describes her as being a woman that is not above old-fashioned manual labor, right? Wool and flax, they were the materials used to make clothing and linens of the time, right? And, you know, some of my hunting gear, a lot of my hunting gear is wool. This is a woman who is not only, that not only works with her hands, but does so proudly and willingly, most of the time without any recognition or any traditional form of compensation, right? This is just what she does for her family. Verse 14, she is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. To me, this is the wife who's out looking to provide the best she can for her family. Not what is easy and convenient, right? Not the fast food, right? Just getting the fast food, but trying to make the meal, right? Trying to keep, you know, even the kids won't eat it. Try to give them the healthy stuff to eat, right? I swear, I watch my wife do that with the kids, and I just feel so bad for her. She's trying so hard, and they just, ew, I don't want to eat that, you know? I just gobble it up, man, because that's the good stuff, right? But it's funny, but she's always trying, right? And that's what this woman's doing. She's trying to find the good food, the good, not the easy way, but the good stuff for her family. The other thing that I noticed with this, and this is something that we went through as a family, like my wife, my youngest son, we discovered that he's got a bunch of food allergies, and he'd been dealing with them for a long time, and they were really messing his gut up, and he was having a lot of issues. And I mean, I would have been like, just, you know, I never did a single thing about it, right? But I was always like, oh, he'll grow out of that. but it wasn't, he wasn't growing out of it. And my wife, man, she's made a huge effort like to eliminate foods. And that has made it so hard for her to prepare meals and to do this because she's almost making one for him and one for everybody else. And she does that, right? And that's what this Proverbs 31 woman does. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She's hardworking, yes, but more than that, she is competent and that she manages her household well. She figures out, an example, the ice maker isn't broken. It's just got too much ice over the sensor, right? So it stopped making ice. So rather than pay the repairman, she figures out that it just needs to be defrosted, right? Or she sees the termite droppings and rather than ask her husband to do it, she goes and gets a couple different quotes and says, here, pick one, right? So she's on top of her house, right? That's the idea. She's managing it. She considers a field and she buys it. And from her profits, she plants a vineyard. Not only does she handle the home front duties, right? But she works the side hustle as well, right? This is not a lazy woman. Notice also that she buys the field, but then she also puts in the work to build the vineyard, right? She has the vision and she sees the opportunity. She has a plan and she executes on it to its completion. 17, she girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. This doesn't mean she's working out. That's not what this means. It just means she's high output, right? She's diligent. She's consistently putting out effort. That's what's going on. 18, she perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She's confident. She's secure in who she is and what she brings to the table, but it's a humble confidence that we're talking about. It's a humble confidence in that she knows what she produces is good because it's done through Christ, right? Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And this is the mindset that she has, right? She brings that to the table. It's a humble confidence that she has. And she's walking in step with the Spirit of God in all that she tries to do. 19, she stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. So the distaff and the spindle were the tools used for working with wool and flax, right? So you'd hold the distaff up in one hand and that had the flax on it, right? Which is just ball of unorganized material that she would then roll into, you know, a thread basically that she could then use to make linens and so on. So this is skillful work, right? It's tedious, skillful work, but it requires dedication and she's dedicated to her skill in that daily work as a Christian should be, no matter what job they have, right? No matter what job we have, no matter how tedious or mindless it can feel sometimes. We should be skillful at it. We should work hard at it. That's our mission field. That's one of our mission fields that we're on, right? So we got to do our best because we're representing the King. And she does that. Verse 20, she extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. So her desire here is to help those that need it whenever possible. And whenever possible, that's what she does. This is insightful to me in where I felt like God was leading me to go with this study. He wanted me to teach this to this men's study because there's something here. It mirrors what mom was telling the son earlier in Proverbs 8 and 9, right? Where mom says to her son, open your mouth for the speechless and the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy, right? The man and the woman are both to look out for those in need, right? Both, on both ends. God pointed out to me in this study that we're supposed to lead. And if we're in a relationship where maybe we feel some of these things are lacking in our partnership, right? Then the question really is, are we leading from the front or are we leading from the back, right? Because if we're leading from the front with our actions, and this was my conviction, not that I saw any flaw in my wife, but I saw flaw in myself, then we are going to see many of these Proverbs 31 characteristics in ourselves, right? And then subsequently, we'll recognize them in our spouses also. So we got to lead from the front. Verse 21, she is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. So the idea here is she's preparing for the future, right? That's not living for tomorrow at this expense of today. That's not the idea, but responsible planning. That's what it is, right? She's picking up a few extra canned goods when she's at the grocery store for the just in case, right? And the other thing I notice here is that she's got an eye for quality, not just the cheapest thing, right? I've got this good friend that, and it's something I noticed about him. We never really talked about it, but I he doesn't buy a lot of things, but when he buys something, it's quality. And what I've picked up on, because I'm always looking for a little more value in my mind. Like if it's the most expensive thing, it's almost just out immediately. But it's not out immediately for him because sometimes that's the best value. And what I've noticed is that a lot of the things he's bought, even though maybe over time they're a little bit older, they're still relevant in their application because of the quality that they were. And then also, like for instance, binoculars for hunting, right? He's bought some older binoculars. The technology's gotten better, but the glass is so good in those binoculars that they're still top of the line, right? So it's something I noticed, whereas I bought 4 pairs since then, right? You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, I probably could have bought a nice pair and just had a great pair the whole time. Instead, I've had C-grade stuff this whole time, right? But also a lot of the stuff that he buys holds value or increases in value over time. That's the other thing I've noticed. So trying to learn from that. But that's what this gal does right here, right? She's clothing her family in scarlet, right? That's nice stuff, right? So she's preparing them for winter, but it's not junk, right? It's not the Kmart jacket, right? So that's what I see there. 22, she makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. So even though this is a godly gal who puts God first and does all the other stuff, right, taking care of everything and everyone else, she still manages to take care of herself. It's not her first priority, but it is a priority, right? I've heard it said that you have to take care of yourself so that you can take care of other people around you. And this is even better than that because this is done unselfishly, right? And it's done with God's favor and God's blessing. God wants good things for us. And so it's good, you know, that we take care of ourselves. But, you know, she does this in an unselfish way, which I like. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. As men, we receive more stature. And what's being pointed to here, we receive more stature as a result of the godly woman that we have beside us. She doesn't neglect anything. She doesn't neglect herself. And we receive the benefits oftentimes from that, right? And again, behind every great man is a great woman. And now we're talking about the spouse, right? She makes him look good in every way. She classes him up. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. So she's going to work, and she's going to bring revenue to the family. If she can, she'll do it by using the skill sets and the abilities she's acquired or that God's given her. My wife's always crocheted from, like, ever since I've known her. I was like, first time I met her, I'm like, what are you, like, 100? Like, sitting there crocheting. But I love it. It's so cute, you know? And now she makes these really cool stuffed animals, like, but they're these, I mean, they're actually, you see them, you go, whoa, they're pro. And so she's doing that and she's selling them. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say we're profitable at this point, right? But it's cool because she's paying for her own hobby. It's paying for itself. And I think that's pretty cool, right? But here we're talking about that, like a woman using her skill sets any way she can to help out, right, at the family, even though I think what we're really talking about here is predominantly a a homemaker, but a woman that's a career woman, I don't know, like I noticed my mom always worked, but she was still the one mainly handling the house too, right? So they just, women are amazing like that, aren't they? Because, and I'll get to that later, but if it was left up to me, man, we'd be a McDonald's family. 25, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. So she possesses inner beauty, right? Godly character and a healthy fear of the Lord. She also has an understanding that time's going to take its toll, right? On that outward appearance. She's the effects of aging, right? And she doesn't necessarily let herself go. That's not what we're talking about here, but she has a practical and positive outlook when it and understanding when it comes to the regard of the effects of aging, right? Because it's just, it's going to happen to all of us. She's not obsessed with, you know, staying young. 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. So she possesses discernment, and her words are seasoned with grace. That's what we're talking about here. She doesn't speak with a trash mouth, right? Our words are a great indicator of our heart, right? So if you're looking for that gal and she's got a trashy mouth, that's not the gal, right? But Matthew 12:34, right? Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So great indicator there, right? Kind of words the woman has to say. 27, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Right? She's not eating bonbons and watching soap operas. So this is bragging my wife night. I don't know if you guys knew that already, but that's what it is, in case you were wondering. And I got to say, my wife's amazing, man. She gets up at 5:30 in the morning to go crush the gym workout. She makes the kids breakfast. She feeds the animals. We practically live in a Petco at this point. And she keeps up the house, the dishes, the laundry, right? The sweeping of the floor, constantly sweeping the floor. I've got two dogs and a cat, and every one of them sheds like more than anything I've ever seen in my life, right? I mean, the dog shakes and it's like a cloud of hair, right? So it's just nonstop sweeping. She cooks family meals almost every night, as I was saying earlier, which is crazy. She takes the kids to jujitsu and volleyball and then the million other social things. So, you know, I realized though, all these things because of this one reason, because she's gone out of town before, right? That's how I know this, right? Maybe, while she's out of town, maybe one load of laundry gets done, right? And the dishes are good because we eat out the whole time, right? So the dishes are fine. But you could, and the funny part is, I was talking about the dog hair, you could use the distaff and the spindle with all that dog hair to do something by the time she gets home, piled up. But by the time she gets home, man, I'm exhausted, right? I've done nothing. I'm exhausted. And that's how I know she's amazing. That's how I know she's not idle, right? She's on it. Man, when she gets home, though, the kids are happier than I am, right? And verse 28, here we have that. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. And yes, I do. This is a good reminder from God twice to me now in this study to make sure, though, to let her know, right? To let her know I recognize her good works. She's told me before with regards to the house, like I've come home from work and it's not up to her standards. And she's like, I know you think I didn't do anything all day. And I'm like, no, I know. Like, you've been out of town before. I know what you did work. But even though from her viewpoint, the kids and me and the pets were all messing up as fast as she's fixing it, we got to remember. We got to remember because, and to appreciate on her. And in case you guys don't know what that sounds like, we get a little something here from our author. It says, "Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all." Right, and that's in quotes. Right, so that's how you do it. Right, That's how you do it. Everyone needs a little recognition and affirmation, a boost once in a while. And that's all my wife's friend, husband needed. And that's all my wife needs sometime, right? Is just for me to notice, because she's not getting a paycheck for what she's doing, right? So she just needs a little bit of, like, I see it, you know? And, you know, how hard is that, right? So remember to do that. That's good advice, marital advice right there. Verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So priority number one for her is the fear of the Lord. Yeah, her family is her primary ministry, but we can only be effective and find the best possible results in that primary ministry. And if our primary priority is our fear of the Lord, right? Our relationship with God, healthy respect and understanding of who God is and what he's done for us. The kind of beauty that shines through in a person who possesses that is unmistakable, right? Can we agree on that? And that's not going to perish. That's not going to get old ever. And the final verse of our journey through Proverbs, verse 31 here. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. And again, my personal interpretation on this, flashing back to earlier. If you're blessed enough to have found a woman like this, don't fail to give her the recognition she deserves, right? Because our success, if we have any, and we're married, we gotta give it up to our wives, right? She deserves that honest recognition. So the big takeaways for me in this, and what God convicted me of, is that whether you're a single guy or you're a guy who's already married, we must first work on being the leader that God's called us to be, right? That's the first thing we need to do, right? We can't be looking at the splinter in our wife's eye when we've got the plank in our own eye. We got to be the Proverbs 31 man, prioritizing God in our lives and developing godly characteristics, many of which have been laid out tonight in this woman and by mom to her son. That primary ministry, we got to prioritize it, which is, if you're married, it's your family, guys. We have to lead from the front. Lead from the front. That's what I kept hearing in my ears. We have to be an example. And then if marriage is what you want, it's something you desire as a single guy, then once you develop those characteristics, because that's the first thing you need to do, really focus on that. Once you've got that, you've got a strong relationship with the Lord, then you got to pray for God to prepare you and then bring you this precious woman. So let's lead from the front. Let's lead from the front, and let's, that's the only way we're going to be equally yoked. And that's the way God intended it for us, right? Reflecting Christ's love for his church in our marriages. So let's pray. Lord, thanks again for another awesome study and for an awesome marriage. God, thank you for that, for an awesome wife. God, help us to lead from the front. Help us to be the men you've called us to be in our families, and then just in our general life, God, and just in the things that we do, right, in our professions, right, to be whatever that is, whether it's something we think is mundane or not, just to do our best at it every day and represent you well, to be a good example to our kids and our nieces and our nephews and to our friends and our extended family, Lord. So thanks for this study through Proverbs. It was cool. And we just look forward to what you have for us the rest of the year. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.
Set free my heart. Set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the the day that life begins.